morning is entitled Confession is Good for the Soul.
Confession is good for the soul.
A statement you've probably heard before. As far as I know, I couldn't find it anywhere in the Bible, but it's one of those old sayings that sometimes people might confuse with something that is in the Bible. But the idea behind that statement is certainly true, and certainly a biblical concept that confessing is something that is good for our souls. And we want to look this morning at the way the Bible uses the term confess or any other word related to it. I want us to look at the fact that the word confess itself, by definition, simply means the acknowledgement of a fact. It just means to verbally state something as being true, to acknowledge that that thing is true. And it's used that way on several occasions in the Bible. For example, in Acts chapter 23 and verse 8. Acts chapter 23 and verse 8, it says, "Well, the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both." So, the Sadducees don't believe in angels, they don't believe in spirit, they don't believe in the resurrection. But the Pharisees believe in all of those things, and they acknowledge them verbally, they will admit to it. They'll own up to it, is another phrase. But they say that they believe those things. And so, that's that first definition, just acknowledging something to be true. And there are other passages that use it in that same way. In Acts chapter 24, verse 14, Paul uses it that way in his own defense. He says, "But this I confess unto thee." Well, what do you think? He's going to confess some grievous sin? No, he's just going to state something to be that is true. He says, "This I confess to thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." So he basically just makes the statement that, yes, they call it heresy, and yes, I'll admit that that's the way I worship God. The Jews, of course, considered the Christians to be heretics, and they considered them to be worshiping God in a way that was heresy. And so Paul says, yes, I worship God as a Christian. And even though they think it's heresy. And so, we see that being used. We also see the confession being used in that way when Christ says that he will confess us before his Father. He's basically going to acknowledge the fact that he knows us before his Father in heaven, if, of course, we're faithful to him. And he gives the stipulation for that. The second way that confess is used, which is also very similar to the first one, but more specific, is a verbal acknowledgement that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And again, it is stating a fact, stating something is true, and admitting that you believe that fact. So, I might confess to you today that I believe the sky is blue. So that's stating a fact. Well, I also might confess to you today that I believe Jesus is the Son of the living God. That's also stating a fact, but it's a more specific fact. And that's the way it's used in many cases. Throughout the Bible, the idea of confessing God as your God, or confessing Christ as the Son of God and as the Lord, those ideas are throughout the Scriptures, all the way back to the books of 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Actually, just kind of the idea there is Solomon is speaking and praying to God about the children of Israel. And he says in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 33, "When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name." Notice there, he's not speaking of confessing their sin. He says, "And confess thy name." And then he goes on to say, "And pray and make supplication unto thee in this house." This is the prayer that Solomon prayed as he was dedicating the temple in Jerusalem. And he was praying that God would listen to the people when they would come back to him, and when they would confess his name, when they would acknowledge him as God. and do so verbally. There are many people who will acknowledge God, but they won't do it verbally. They know and they believe that there is a God. They know and they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they won't say so. They keep it to themselves. They keep it hidden and shut up, and they don't want anybody to know about it. Particularly, sometimes people who are in a position where that kind of a faith would be looked down on. There are places where being a Christian is not a good thing to the people around. The people around don't respect that. And so, sometimes someone may believe in Jesus, but they won't be willing to speak up and say so for fear that they'll be shunned by that group that they'd like to be with, or something of that nature. Well, we see that being the case throughout the Scriptures. We're going to look at some of the cases, some of the places where we are told about confessing Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 32, Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." And this uses that confess in both ways. First, it refers to us confessing Christ. Openly acknowledging verbally so others can hear. Acknowledging Christ. And he says, if we will be willing to do that, then he will be willing to confess us or acknowledge that he knows us before his Father in heaven. He goes on to say that if we deny him before men, that if we aren't willing to speak up and admit and acknowledge that we do serve Christ, that he is the Son of God, that we believe in him, that he's going to deny us before his Father. And so confession is certainly a part of the plan of salvation that God has given. We've talked about belief and repentance, and now we look at confession. Making that confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Acts chapter 8, we see the Ethiopian eunuch making that confession. It's difficult for us to know what someone believes unless they speak it out. Unless they're willing to say that's what they believe. We don't know. Maybe that somebody believes something and has believed it for years, but they've never spoken out on it, so we don't have any idea that that's what they believe. The confession of Christ lets people know where we stand. It lets people know what we believe and what we will stand for. Notice what happens here. In Acts chapter 8, and verse number 36, as they went on their way, this is after Philip has been teaching the Ethiopian eunuch about Jesus, in verse 35. Verse 36 says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, "Look, here's some water. See, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? What's keeping me from being baptized?" Apparently, Philip had preached to him about baptism. Otherwise, why is the Ethiopian eunuch asking this question? But he says, "Look, here's water. Why can't I be baptized?" And so Philip says in verse 37, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And so what does the Ethiopian eunuch do? The Ethiopian eunuch answers and says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And that's the confession that we're speaking of in this first part. Remember, we said there were three different ways that the word confession is used. We'll talk later about the third way. But here we're looking at acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ. That's part of becoming a Christian. See, God doesn't allow us to be closet Christians. We can't be Christians and make it a secret. If we're Christians, everybody's going to know. There's the old saying, that if Christians were being prosecuted for being Christians, and they arrested you and took you to trial, and put you up on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? See, a lot of times there wouldn't. A lot of times, we aren't any different from the people in the world. They can't tell any difference between a Christian and just any old fellow off the street. See, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be those that will confess Christ will openly acknowledge that we worship Jesus and that we believe He is the Son of God. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 8, Jesus reiterates what He said in Matthew 10 verse 32 about confessing Him before men. So we can't just confess Him to God in prayer. We have to confess Him before people. Other people have to know that we believe in Jesus. We have to be willing. You remember Peter? When Jesus is arrested, and when Peter's with Jesus and the other apostles, boy, he's tough. Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll never forsake you. But just watch him a little while later when he's sitting down there warming himself by the fire with all those people that don't believe in Jesus. And he comes, hey, you were with Jesus. Oh, not me. I never knew the fella. Never met him. I don't know who you're talking about. He was big and tough when he... And that shows the depth of our faith. By whether we're willing to acknowledge Christ, to confess Christ before others. It's one thing when you're there with Jesus to be able to say, yeah, Lord, I believe in you. But what about when you're out there with the devil? And with the devil's servant, then are we willing to confess Jesus? What if it comes to the point where we're persecuted, and this point could come within some of our lifetimes, even in this country? We're losing freedoms every day. And it could come to the point where we lose that freedom from the government standpoint. They start arresting us, throwing us to jail, and even, maybe they won't throw us to the lions, they'll put us for lethal injection or whatever for being Christians. Then they start persecuting us. And when they ask, are you a Christian? If you'll just deny Jesus, we'll let you go. What are we going to do? We're going to say, oh, okay, well, I'll deny Him. And I'll really secretly keep believing in Him in my heart, but I'll just say I denied Him. Jesus says, you've got to confess me before Him. In the second century, there was a fellow by the name of Polycarp. He was an elder in one of the churches in the second century, and he was arrested for being a Christian. And he was stood before the emperor, the governor of that area, and was told, if you will deny Christ, then we will let you go. We won't kill you. Otherwise, we're going to burn you at the stake. And as he stood there before that governing official, he said, 86 years, he's an old man, 86 years have I served my Lord, and never has He done me wrong. How could I deny Him now? See, that's the kind of faith we need to have. That even threatened with death, we will still acknowledge the Lord is my Lord. See, that's the kind of conviction we have to have. That kind of conviction comes from a deep faith, a deep belief that God is, and that Jesus is His Son, that Jesus came and lived and died and rose again. We have to have that faith in order for that confession to mean anything. Well, look at a few other verses. Notice, if you will, John chapter 9 and verse 22. Remember the blind man in John chapter 9? He wasn't afraid to tell what he knew. He didn't know that Jesus was the Son of God at the time. He thought, he must be a prophet because he healed my eyes. So he said, this man's come from God. He must be a prophet. Well, the Pharisees called his parents in and they're asking him. And in verse 22 of John chapter 9, it says, these words spake his parents. They basically, his parents said, go ask him about it. Said, we? That's our son, sure enough, but he's old enough. He's an adult. You go ask him. They didn't want to say anything. They didn't want to say anything, and here's why. It says, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So anybody that said, yes, Jesus is the Messiah, He's the Christ, He's come to save the world, the Jews were going to kick them out of their church at that time, out of the synagogue. And so this blind man's parents were scared to say anything because they didn't want to get kicked out. You see, true faith will say, I don't care if you kick me out. If you don't believe in Him, I don't want to be a part of your group anyway. Notice John 12 and verse 42. John 12 and verse 42, it says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him. the leaders of the Jews who believed in Jesus. But notice what it says. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They were so worried about the approval of man that they weren't willing to confess that Jesus Christ. We can't be like that. We must be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ. And in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. We really want to go back a little bit. To verse number 8. But what sayeth it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So Paul here tells us something about confession, about confessing Jesus. It's a necessary step on that road to salvation. Notice what it says in verse 10, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or toward salvation. If you want to head toward salvation, confession is along that path. You've got to pass by it. You've got to go through that stop in order to get there. You've got to go through there. You can't skip it. Can't go around it. Confession is made unto salvation. He says, belief springs from the heart. Confession, of course, comes from the lips. See, one is an inward thing. That belief. That's hard to see. I can't see whether you believe in Jesus. Just looking at it, I can't see who believes in Jesus. Confession, though, is verbal. It's more obvious. It's something that other people can see. Now, of course, that belief is going to bring about you living in a certain way that's going to make it obvious whether you believe in Jesus or not. But just belief itself is not something that can't be seen. It's in the heart. But with the mouth that says confession is made, that's something then that people can hear, that people can know. I can know if you've confessed Jesus. Now, of course, whether that confession was sincere or not, I can't always know. That may not be known until that crunch time comes, that time when there's persecution threatened, that time when it's hard, when it's difficult. Then, are you still going to be willing to confess Jesus? One thing we've got to understand about this, yes, confession is that step on the way to salvation. But it's not a one-time thing. Just like we talked about repentance, not being just you repent of your sins and then you're baptized and you never have to repent of any sins ever again in the future. It doesn't work that way. Confession, the same thing. Yes, we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, before we're baptized, before we become a Christian, in that process of becoming a Christian, we do that, make that confession. But that's not where it ends. We can't make that confession and then 70 years later or 50 years later, however much later, then we die and we go to heaven and Jesus says, how come you didn't confess me before me? So, well, I did back before I was baptized. I did back when I was becoming a Christian, I confessed you. And it's not enough to just do it that one time. This is a continual process. We have to confess Jesus by our lips, by our mouth, with our mouth, and with our actions as well, each and every day of our life. We have to continue to confess Him. We have to continue to show that He is our Savior, that He is the Christ, that He is the Son of God. We have to keep showing that in our lives. We cannot just say, I did it one time and that's good enough. Think about any of the attributes of being a Christian. Love, kindness, patience. Any of those things. We can't just say, well, I did it one time, that's good enough. It doesn't work that way. You can't say, well, I showed kindness to somebody one time. Back in 1983, I was kind to somebody once. See, even you're a Christian, kindness is your way of life. We talked about class this morning, gratitude and ingratitude, or lack of gratitude. Being thankful or being unthankful. But we can't say, well, I was thankful once. And then the same thing with confession. We can't say, well, I said I believed in Jesus. Reminds me, to some degree, of the story of the couple who was married. And of course, they had their vows, and they said that they loved one another at that point, and so forth. They would cherish one another till death do us part. And some 30 years later, that husband had never again told his wife that he loved her. And she came to him one day, and she said, honey, do you love me? And he said, well, I said so 30 years ago. If anything changes, I'll let you know. If we love somebody, we're going to show them and we're going to tell them often. I'm not going to be, well, I told you back before we got married. I'm not going to say. And the same thing with confessing Christ. If we really believe in Him, we really love Him, we're going to acknowledge Him, not just back there before we became Christians or in the process of becoming Christians. But we're going to keep acknowledging Him. We're going to continue to do so. We need to remember that confessing Jesus is what lets it be known whether we are of God or not, whether we are Christians or not. It's one of, well, there are many things, but this is one of the earmarks, if you will, of a Christian. You know, with cattle, they brand them with other animals. They put a mark on the ear, hog especially, and they mark the ear in some way to let them know who they belong to. Well, if we're God's, we're going to have certain marks in us. And confession is one of those marks. We're going to confess Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, we'll close with this. Of course, this is talking about a time when there were miraculous gifts and people had prophecy from the Spirit and things of that nature. But we can know the same thing about people today. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And there are people out there that don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, don't believe Jesus lived, don't believe He died on the cross and was buried and rose again. There are a lot of them. A lot of them that even claim to be religious people, even call themselves Christians. But they don't even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And yet John says that if somebody or some spirit doesn't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, then that's not from God. That person is not from God. If we aren't willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came in the flesh, that He lived on this earth and died and rose again, then we are not of God. We're not His people. So we can know those things. There are some things that we may never know. There are some things in the area of life that we cannot say one way or another with someone, whether they're in the right or whether they're in the wrong. But if someone is unwilling to confess that Jesus lived on this earth, unwilling to confess that He's the Son of God, then we can know that that person is not a Christian. They may call themselves a Christian, but if they won't acknowledge that, they're not. Now, there may be other factors as well that we're going to have to look at in the future. Just because someone does say that they believe in Jesus doesn't necessarily mean that they truly do. They may be lying. But if someone won't say it, then we know that they certainly are not. You're here this morning, and you're not a Christian. Perhaps you've never confessed Christ. Perhaps you don't even haven't even repented of your sins, as we talked about last week. How important that is to the plan of salvation that God has established. Maybe maybe you have yet to even come to faith in Him and need to study some more on that topic to understand that Jesus truly is the Son of God, that He fulfilled those prophecies from the Old Testament. So if you do believe in Him, and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Him as the Christ, the Son of God, and if you're willing then to submit yourself to be immersed in water as God has commanded, as Jesus has said, as part of that plan for salvation, as also the apostles preached and taught, then if you're willing to do that today, you can come today and do that, be added to God's church, to His body. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you aren't confessing Christ before men as you should, perhaps you've been acting as though you don't believe in Him, perhaps you've been denying Him, maybe not in word, but in deed, then you too may need to respond to the invitation as you stand and as we sing.